Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Western Hills. We're glad you're here to worship with us. Let's stand and let's bring our joy in this house today. Here we go.
To the God who always makes a way.
Seats.
Well, good morning, Western Hills Church. It's pretty good. So as we continue in worship this morning, we wanted to give you a quick update on our school supply drive, as you can see rolling on the screen right now. So over the last 2 weeks, we have actually raised $3,315 to spend on schools. Yeah, so thank you. Yeah. So with that, we've been able to already take a few carloads of school supplies to our school partners over the last week, and we still have one more full week to do some shopping and delivering of supplies. So lots of really cool stuff happening. And that includes things like, obviously, crowns, pencils, scissors, notebooks, the usual school supplies, but also, as maybe you saw, some food, some snacks, stuff like that, and some clothing and hygiene items for some of our elementary schoolers all the way up to some high schoolers. And so we want to say thank you for that. We also got some outside help from a few community connections. And so if you've ever heard of Alpha Media, they actually had a school supply drive at the zoo, and they needed somebody to distribute those supplies. And so we volunteered. And so we took those supplies that they gathered, and we took them to our partners as well. So McCarter, Hope Street, Sheldon, and Pine Ridge. And then we also were able to deliver about 200 backpacks to our school, to our school partners as well, thanks to our friends Young Life of Topeka. They gave us a whole bunch of backpacks, more than we could deliver probably this school year. But so thank you to those two community partners. So that is all the first week of delivering after 2 weeks of taking in donations. So thank you guys. And I was actually specifically requested by those administrators and counselors and teachers to say thank you to you guys for being a church that consistently steps up generously when God puts these opportunities to love our community and love families in our community. So thank you for that. Today is the last day to participate in the donation, the funding side of it. And so if you would like to hop in and be a part of that, you can do a few things. So if you give online, you can hop over to our whillschurch.org and click the give link. And then when you fill out your give form, there's a drop down box, and you can just designate it for school supplies. If you give via check or cash, you can just designate that on the memo or on the envelope and then drop it in one of our connection kiosks. And we would love to get more school supplies into our community partners' hands so that kiddos and families have those. They don't have to worry about them, as well as some food and some clothing. And so if you want to be a part of that, please do that. We would love to have you a part of that. And then this coming week, we will do some more shopping and then give you some more news next weekend about how the remainder of this drive goes. So thank you, as always. Those connection kiosks, real quick, before we move on to worshiping again, those are also where, if you just have general tithes and offerings, you can drop those in there as well if you don't give online. So with that, let me give thanks to God who has made all of this possible, and then we will continue singing praise to him. Father, thank you for opportunities like this to come alongside our community, families, teachers, administrators in our community, and just love them. Share your love with them. Meet a need, yes, but also maybe be beacons of your light in our community. And so we just pray that as this next week comes and as teachers and kids and families are already well in the beginning of school, this fall semester, that you would bless them and that you would just make yourself known through whatever means possible. And so we just are thankful for the opportunity that we get to participate in that work. Ultimately, we thank you this morning, especially as we worship you and praise you. We thank you for the larger truth that you are our one true living hope. And it's through that reality that everything else flows for us. So we just pray that that truth sinks in this morning as we praise you and dig into your word, and that we're transformed by that. So as we sing of you, our living hope, we just pray that. Amen.
Let's stand and worship together. Darkness, your loving kindness
So through the shadows of my soul, the work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? I could fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me.
Father, we come before you today. God, we thank you that you are our hope. God, there is nothing else. Nothing else but you. And we worship you this morning. Caught up in
in your presence, and I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for a blessing. And Jesus, you don't owe me anything, but more than anything that you can do, I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started.
So often we come into this place and we bring stuff with us, right? I'm reminded of a sermon Grant gave not too long ago. I think it was this year, in fact, early this year. One thing that's stuck with me and something I think about every time I sing this song is, you know, very, very few people, if not no people in this room, consciously choose to do the opposite of Jesus. We don't often say, Jesus wants me to do this, I'm going to do the exact opposite. But all of us constantly choose things instead of Jesus. And so this morning, what's your instead of? What did you bring in here that's just keeping you from being fully open to the Holy Spirit changing and moving you? And I want to give us just a little bit of time and space. And if you're like me, it's an obvious thing. I don't have to think much about it. Like, I already know what it is. But if that's not you, spend some time. Ask God to search your heart. What is that thing, that something else that's in your life today? Just take a second and ask Him to reveal that. To sing that bridge again, I just want you and nothing else. And as we sing this, my prayer for you is that you give that something else. You give it to God today. Don't let it stand in the way anymore. Let's sing this together.
I just want you and nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you and nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you and nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you.
Father God, we want to give you everything. Give you all of us. We want to be all in. Let's continue in worship.
Promises are yours. promises are yes and amen.
Beautiful Savior.
Beautiful Savior, you have brought me here. You pulled me from the ashes, you have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free.
Praising him with us this morning, and you can have your seats.
My name is Grant English. I'm the lead pastor at Western Hills Church. I think it is fair to have some expectations of your church. I think it's fair to expect them to teach the Word of God, to teach about what Jesus said. I think it's fair to expect them to push you to grow. I think it's fair to expect the church to care for you, right? But those last two, about growing and about caring for you, those two happen best in community. Those two are probably going to be, the only way you're going to experience those two is in community, in a connect group.
My name is Gary Manfred, and this is my wife, Nancy. We've been at Western Hills since 2006.
We love the messages and enjoying the services. We were really praying if this was the church for us. And when we went that next Sunday, it was all about their mission focus and their worldwide mission focus. And we knew that that was the one for us.
So my name is Faith Schumer. I got introduced to Western Hills by my now neighbor and immediately just fell in love with the atmosphere. And then I met Suzanne and joined the small groups. I like that a lot of, if I miss a group, someone is always checking in on me like, hey, how are you?
The Connect group is the place where not only you can receive those things, but then you can also be the one that brings those things to someone else, because God's going to use your story and what you've walked through to bring care to other people. And you're not going to be able to do that unless you're in a Connect group.
We have a saying that when we set up the life group, the first meeting or two, we simply say that, okay, this is going to be a place that's safe. It's going to be a place of confidentiality, and for everyone's sake, we're going to be available 24/7. And what we find is that other members of the life group will make that commitment as well, so that creates quite a group of folks to depend upon. We've had opportunities to take people to the hospitals, to the doctors.
We've taken meals to them. We've just had all kinds of variety of things to be able to help them do, and so it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. And what I like with our group that we did was get into those small groups of prayer. In those small groups, we were able to even open up more, and there was much needed prayer that was covered. And so I think the intimacy that comes from that helps us grow even more.
With Cooper going through cancer, we basically were English Island. I mean, we pretty much hunkered down, and group prayed for us, brought meals over. We did nights of Zoom games. We did, it was just a lot of work and effort that they did just to try to keep us connected.
The work that God has done in my life is an amazing testimony. And I'm always looking to, someone who's going through the same thing to encourage them and to use that. So I'm kind of available for whatever God wants to use me for. So I can't wait to see what it looks like in this new semester, new school year. And so I hope to have more relationships, and I welcome anybody who's not connected to come connect with us, our group. I'm biased, but I hope you can join our group or any other group that you choose. But ours is the best.
Yeah, it's now Faith's group, not...
Yeah.
Used to be mine. It's not anymore. good morning. Glad y'all are here with us. And I just want to take a moment just to say thank you. I know the last couple of weeks we've asked you, both, on our online as well as our services, to pray for staff and leaders as we've been in a retreat this weekend. And it has been really rich and really good. And the guy that's leading the retreat has been really mean because we have to go right after this service back into it. We're wrapping some stuff up. So keep praying for us, because especially around 2:00, 2:30, when the sleep monster begins to attack us. But anyway, thank you for praying for us. We'll be unpacking some of the stuff that we've kind of covered in this leaders retreat about how are we going to be better at living out the reality of Jesus for our community, for those that are far from Christ. And that's something that we all kind of came out of the last 18 months just with a massive burden for. And so we're really, really excited about what this weekend is doing for us. So anyway, thank you for that. Suzanne.
Hiya.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
This is week 3 of Living Connected series. And so a quick review, if you've kind of been following along, you know this, but the very first week we talked about that the last 18 months has revealed two very, very stark, deep truths about the human condition. That one, we are fiercely independent, mm-hmm. and we are deeply and desperately relational, right? Fiercely independent, we desperately need relationships. And we talked all about that in the first week. And as a result of that, what we've learned is that this is not a mistake. This is not a flaw in what it means to be human. This is actually part of what it means to be made in the image of God, mm-hmm. to be able to choose relationship. That's what gives it depth. That's what gives it meaning. And then the further point to make on that is that since we were created this way, God has also created a way to fulfill this deep desire of relationship, both with himself vertically and his peoples, mm-hmm. also known as the church, horizontally. So that was week one.
That's right. And it's through those relationships that, as we learned about last week, taking that to the next step and the things that we look for is to be able to connect, to care, and to grow together. And what that looks like is things like building spiritual friendships and taking care of one another and really just growing so that we can do this thing that we talk about every week, to live out the reality of Jesus to every person, every place, all the time. And like you heard on the video, those things don't always happen on a Sunday morning here in a big setting.
Right.
This has a purpose, and it's a great purpose of corporate worship and teaching and coming together. And I absolutely love some Sunday mornings. But connect, care, and grow happen in a smaller environment in our small groups. So each of those things serves a separate function, and each of them is important. And we see that in Scripture, in a great picture in Acts chapter 2 of the church, of how it began. So we see that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people.
So what we've learned is that there needs to be food.
Yeah, that's a primary lesson.
That's the primary lesson.
But not just bread, okay? Can we?
Yeah, we can expand that.
Dessert or something?
Yes. Protein.
And so when all those things are working together, again, like we learned about last week, we begin to connect, care, and grow just like the aspen trees.
Yeah, that was a really powerful illustration last week about the aspen trees. And so if you haven't heard that message, you need to go back and listen to it. It's fantastic. I do think, though, it's time to address an elephant in the room. Hmm. We have seen video clips, and all these groups look wonderful. They look right out of the Hallmark Channel.
Absolutely.
And but you and I have spent the larger part of our adult lives being in groups.
That's a long time.
Right, right. For some of
us. Some of us.
But I think we'd both say this. I'd say that probably the most significant marker in my growth in Christ was being in a small group.
Yeah, like I agree with that.
Right, I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's probably the most significant step I took was being in a small group. Mm-hmm. But I will also say this. While every group that I have been in has been valuable, not every group that I have been in has been easy.
True.
There have been some really painful, awkward moments in groups.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a time in our lives, in Amy's lives, where we were like, is this worth it? Mm. Like, is this dragging kids and staying up late and,
yeah.
and having this a part of our rhythm? Is this really worth it?
Yeah, there can be some really tough aspects of it. And what we plan, what we put on paper, and what looks really good doesn't always pan out that way. And I think there's this idea that, well, we're all believers. We get it. We're on the same page. We're on the same team. So when we put all of us together, it should be just fine, right? Like, there shouldn't be any messiness or problems that there are with the rest of the world. And that's just not true. Those challenges don't magically disappear just because we're Jesus followers. And I imagine a lot of us have stories. And some of those stories are really great ones, but some of them, as we've been saying, actually can cause a lot of spiritual and emotional pain. And then there's some that are just awkward. Okay. Yeah, I've got an example. This was years ago, Danny and I were in a group, and there was someone who decided we're going to step out in our faith and host group in our home for the very first time. And so we're like, okay great. So we're all sitting around the circle having this deep, like, intimate conversation and praying and stuff. And all of a sudden, the guest bathroom door opens up, and my three-year-old son comes running out buck naked across the middle of the group and said, "Mommy, Mommy, I pooped." And so we're going, okay, this is awkward. Now what do we do?
This is awkward.
Yeah.
Did you get permission to tell this story?
Yeah, I got permission to tell the story, but now that you mention it, it might be more awkward for him now than it was for us then, since he's right here in the back of the room.
Oh,
sorry, Evan. He's 16 now, so it's okay.
No, it's not. No.
Anyway, moving on, awkward things happen at group. I'm sure you have some as well.
Yeah, that's a wonderful phase of life when they're learning to use the bathroom.
Yes.
And they have to take all the clothes off to go to the bathroom. Right,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's part of it.
I remember Amy and I, when we moved to Little Rock, one of the very first small group we walked into, and the reason it's so vivid is because the woman was sitting right directly across from me in the living room, and we got to the prayer time, and she just talks about her husband and her marriage, and he's distant, and he's not engaged, and he's not really a spiritual leader, and it really makes the household awkward, and she doesn't know what to do about this. And she gets done with her prayer request, and it was awkward.
Yeah.
But it went to a whole nother level of awkward when the guy sitting next to me said, "Well, you're not that great of a wife either."
Oh, no.
And I was like that just, like, I'm on staff at the church, and we get in the car to leave the Connect group, and I went, "I am never going to a Connect group again." It's like, no.
Yeah.
Not this one. And so, yeah, so there's that awkward and funny is one thing, but when awkward becomes painful, that's a whole other level.
It is. It's a completely different thing, and I hear you, and that does happen. I think there's this idea when we're like we talked about last week, making an intentional decision to jump into community. There's a few things in the back of our mind that we're a little worried about, and those things are things like it will be awkward. What's that going to be like? Also, I'll be misunderstood, or worst of all, I could even get hurt. And wouldn't you like to sit here and say today that, oh, no, that never happens, or it's really few and far between, but we can't go there. This is a risk. It's real and it happened. But on the one hand, I think we should remember that this isn't new just to us and to our small groups in modern day and age. Jesus was in a group, and these very things happened to him as well. I think about in Mark chapter 10, and this was a time where Jesus had been traveling around with his disciples and doing teaching and out with the people and in large groups and just really bringing his disciples along with him. And he goes on to tell the disciples about what's going to be coming for him, his death and his resurrection. And coming right out of that conversation, we see James and John making this request of Jesus. And that is, "Hey, Jesus, will you put us at an honorable place? Would you raise us up to be next to you, to sit at your right and left hand and be honored in heaven?" And so they ask this question of Jesus, as again, the rest of the group is there. And I think at first Jesus is kind of like, you're joking, right? Like, you're asking me this?
Well, he kind of blows them off.
And then he blows them off.
I mean, he kind of goes, "It's really not my call as dad's, right? It's a father's thing.
It's God's deal.
It's God's deal. It's not my..." The other thing that's fascinating about this story, and this is kind of a rabbit trail, like, Matthew's gospel says it was their mom that made this request, which, can you imagine?
Bringing the big guns.
Right. Mom said that, you know,
My mom said.
Yeah, my mama said, and so a bunch of mama's boy. I think the point that we kind of want to get to is that, you know, when this happened, the other 10 are sitting there watching this kind of unfold, and it went from awkward to misunderstood, because let's even think the best of James and John, right? Mm-hmm. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt that they weren't necessarily asking this for glory, but they were asking this because they wanted to be loyal to Jesus.
Right, close to him.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But none of that came across, and the scriptures tell us in that story, the other 10 were indignant. Like, they were it was torqued. So now Jesus has to stop everything and go, okay, now we got to talk about this.
Yeah. It's not just awkward, it's hurt. And do you think, though, that for the rest of the disciples, and remember, this is Jesus' small group, right?
Right.
Do you think that maybe the reason they were so upset was that they didn't think about it first?
Maybe. Maybe. But I also think that sometimes for those 10, there was they had all missed the boat.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that Jesus had just got through teaching was not just about his death, resurrection, but he just got through talking about letting the children come to me. If you want to enter into the kingdom, you have to be like one of these children. Mm-hmm. So they all had missed the boat.
Right.
And Jesus is sitting there going, no, every single one of you don't get, every single one of you are missing this.
Yeah, and it really quickly moved from awkward to hurt with a whole lot of misunderstanding in between. And Jesus had to deal with that head on, right? He had to take that and say, This isn't about you. You've got to keep your kingdom perspective, not an earthly perspective.
Right.
The Gentiles, they do that. They want to be in the pecking order and know where they are, but that's not us. He says, but it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Yeah, that's the context of mm-hmm. him saying this. I mean, I guess ideally you go, okay, well, to avoid this, every group has to be led by Jesus.
If we He's our group leader.
Yeah, if Jesus could be our connect group leader. But then the flip side is maybe not. Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, whew, Jesus. Like mm-hmm. he would say something, you'd be like, okay, well, that's the end of that. I guess the point is that we've got this tension of, yeah, there's great risk of hurt, misunderstanding, and awkward, but there's also this great hope and being in a group that's safe, not just to explore and get to know Jesus, but to be radically changed by him. And how do we get there while avoiding the train wrecks?
Yeah, definitely. These real authentic groups do exist, and that's why we do them. If the method didn't work, we wouldn't enter into that method. And in fact, you and I, we've been in groups together off and on throughout the years, and we're coming out of one right now that has been that has had that realness, that authenticity, many of which we've seen on some of these videos and many of those stories that we share together. And you've been in there quite a long time back for years and years, and we're actually about to ready to have our kind of a farewell dinner this coming week, because we're celebrating and multiplying into three groups out of the strength that's come from that first one. So lots of stuff has happened during that time. I know you talked about in the video, but you have...
Yeah, walking through the cancer treatment with Cooper mm-hmm. was really hard, mm-hmm. and group did that. We've walked through the death of loved ones in the group.
Yeah, we've helped people move, and
I didn't help people move, but
Grant didn't help people move. The group helped people.
No.
So that's good. But I mean, I know for myself, just some really raw late night conversations of just, this is what's going on, this is what I'm struggling with my kids, with whatever, like walking through really, really the tough stuff of life.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things too, that now that my kids are older, you know, Coop's 23 and Cameron's 21, Caden's 13 in my head. I know she's not. She's she's always gonna be my little. Anyway, she's 18. But you know, they, you know, we drug them. Like, I remember just dragging them and pacifiers and blankets and porta cribs. And when you're in the middle of doing that, you just go, this can't be worth the effort. And now that they're older, they have aunts and uncles. They have relationships with these adults through the years that we've had connect groups with. That they're their relationships. They're not mine.
Right.
You know, those are relationships that they're voices that they have in their lives that go, yeah, I'm wrestling with this decision. What do you think? And that's just, I mean, yeah, it's worth it.
I think that's the key, is that once the first time you experience that community, although it can feel scary to jump into that, once you've experienced it, like, you don't want to go back. You want to take those risks. You want to pursue even the good, but even the bad that comes with it, because you know that's part of God's bigger picture and that design right. that he's been saying. So you will do everything you can to protect that and to make sure that you get to do it. And that's really our model behind our groups here at Western Hills. And we're in this process now of sort of trying to come back from COVID and refill all of our groups. And our goal is just what we talked about here, is to take people who've experienced this real authentic community in a significant way and to bring others who have never experienced that along with them. And so as someone who's had it, you're able to gift that to people who haven't before. And as someone who's people who've never had it, you're able to come alongside those who have.
Yeah, and I just want to repeat something you said. Once you've experienced the mountaintop, mm-hmm. it's worth the risk.
Absolutely.
It's worth going through it. So let's shift gears a little bit as we kind of wrap this up. There is what we, after all this time that we've kind of done that, we've kind of found the secret recipe.
Well, it's secret.
Not so secret.
It's okay. A recipe, yeah.
The not so secret recipe for a great Connect group. And there's five ingredients to this. Mm-hmm. And so let's kind of walk through them because they're not overly difficult.
No, they're not. And the first one just starts with taking that risk, making that conscious decision to say, yes, I'm going to step into community. And again, like we said last week, God has put people here around you and put you here for a specific purpose. So he wants you to step into community in the place where you're planted. And here at Western Hills, we've tried to make it as easy as possible to get you connected with others here in groups. And we're going to talk a little bit more at the end about exactly how you do that. But the first step is to take the risk and to sign up. But then comes your part, because it's not enough to sign up. You actually have to show up. It's not enough to just put your name on the list. You got to go through and do with it. Do you remember in a video a few weeks ago where one of our leaders, seasoned and super smart, he said that the hardest 20 feet of your walk in Christ might be from when you get out of your car up the driveway to someone's front door that you don't know. Right. And I just think that's so impactful and true, because that's kind of that first big awkward. But if you can get past that, there's a lot waiting on the other side of that door.
Yeah, take the risk. Ingredient number two is do no harm. This ingredient works two directions. One is how we train our leaders. We tell our leaders that it's highly probable that something is going to happen in your group that you do not have any clue how to handle. Mm. I mean, it's a high probability. And when that happens, here's what you're supposed to do. I tell the group, I have no idea how to handle this, and pray in that moment. The point is that there may be things that happen. Err on the side of grace. Do no harm. Love people where they're at. Pray with them. And it also works the other way if you're new to a group. And I was trying to figure out a really nice way to say this, but there really isn't. It's like, don't be a jerk. Like, just be a kind, decent human being.
There's that.
When you come into the room, right? I mean, you're going to meet people that are different than you and have different values than you and look different than you. And different isn't bad. Different is just different. Mm-hmm. And so be kind and give folks the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. As you explore these.
Creating that environment of safety.
Yeah, be a part
trust.
Of yeah. Create, yeah, be a part of creating an environment that's safe for people.
That's absolutely essential for groups to have that trust. So definitely you want to do no harm, but on the same token, you don't want to be fake either.
Right.
It's finding that spot of I'm still going to be me. And so to be real about the things that you're thinking, the things that you're going through, and being vulnerable about putting that out there, not like maybe what you'd put on social media or something like that, but actual, like, what's going on in your life and sharing that with one another. That vulnerability, it goes two ways. It's a gift to you, because when you do that, you're able to have people speak into your life in a godly way and you grow from that. But it's also a gift to the other people in your group, because they get to come alongside you, and that's a privilege and part of something that God's doing in their life is real. So be real, and then this goes right with that. That's be teachable. Be teachable. The purpose of being in a group is not to stay where you are. The purpose of being in a group is to grow, and that requires change. So that means being open to to hearing what others have to say, being who you are, but also appreciating and being open to who others are. God may have put that person in your group for a very specific purpose in your life, something that you may not be able to learn anywhere else. So be real and be teachable.
And then the last ingredient, I think, is the forgotten ingredient. I think all of these ingredients are important. I don't think one is more important than the other, but this seems to be kind of the forgotten ingredient, and the ingredient is give something. Mm. I had a conversation with a guy, and he was in a group, and he was just kind of, he didn't like hate his group, but his group wasn't like on his top, I don't know, 15 things in his life. And one of the things he started talking about was, you know, my leader is just kind of random when he teaches the lesson. He doesn't really stay focused. And I thought, well, I guess he must be in my group. That didn't happen. No, and I can't really follow him. And I'm not getting a ton out of this. And I was like, okay, well, you seem pretty articulate. You seem pretty dialed in. Have you ever thought about maybe asking if you could direct that conversation? And he goes, I don't have time for that. And I was like, oh okay. It's like, okay. And then he goes, and, you know, we're really thinking about, you know, trying out some new groups. And I was like, that'd be great. We got new groups. That'd be great. Just don't burn any bridges. Just tell the group that you're in that you love them, but you really want to meet some new people and go meet some new people. And he's like, yeah, I think we may do that. As long as they meet on the same night and the same time in the same part of the city that this group is meeting in.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I was kind of dumbfounded because I was like, and in that pause of where I'm trying to think of what to say without being a jerk to him, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there going, he kind of starts processing in his mind and he goes, I don't know if I've got the energy to go to a new group. And I wish I could go back to that conversation because I think the waiter came and spilled something all over the table and totally ruined the conversation or something. But I wish I could go back and just kind of ask him a couple of questions that I think maybe would have helped him to go to kind of push over the edge a little bit, because, you know, he was so focused on what he was trying to get out of the group that I really think if he'd have paused for a moment and said, okay, well, what do you bring?
Yeah.
Like, how many of these people in the room have you sought after outside of group night, to grab coffee, to grab dinner, to have a game night? Like, who have you prayed for? Who have you actually listened to and tried to get to know their story and where they're from and maybe how they came to know Christ, or maybe they don't even know Christ, right? And because I wonder if my hunch is that if you started answering those questions, my hunch is for him, he would realize that he probably hadn't given a whole lot.
Probably not.
I mean, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a direct relationship between what you give and what you get when it comes to a connect group. I mean, it's not always 100% true, but I really do think there is. Yes, our groups are a great place to connect. They're a great place to grow. They're a great place to be cared for. But that's a two-way street there. Mm-hmm. And there's people in that group that need your story, that need your smile, that need whatever it is you bring to the room. And maybe you think, well, I don't have anything to bring. I don't know. Well, you have your story. You have your story. Mm-hmm. Bring your story. And so give something is that last kind of secret ingredient. So here are the five not so secret ingredients for having a great connect group. Take a risk, do no harm, be real, be teachable, and give something. And these kind of level the playing field a little bit to mitigate those risks of being awkward, misunderstood, and hurt, okay? Zan, kind of walk us through a little bit about, so how do we get into one of these groups?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, we've tried to make it as easy as possible, and there's a few ways, but if you're here this morning in person, you can start with this card that's on your chair. You can actually grab it right now, and it's got some description on the front about what groups are about, but on the back, it has a list of all of our groups and where they meet and when they meet. There is one typo. The first one should say 6:30 p.m., not 6:30 a.m. Someone pointed that out last service.
Woo!
So that's a pretty big difference. Anyway,
that's for people who really love Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get that fixed. But you can take a look at what kind of groups are out there. But really, I want to direct you to our website. which you can get to right here by this QR code. So just take out your phone, open up your camera app, and it should take you straight to a link that, again, you can do that now if you want, that'll take you to a list of all of our groups. And on there, there's a little more description about the personality of the group and what, you know, kind of what vibe you'll expect as you're there. And through that, then you can click on that group and choose to register for it, register for anyone in your family. So that's the first way. Go online, find a group that looks like the right fit for you. Or if you want to go low tech and you already know what group you're headed to, you can just actually use this card and take the pen that's on your chair right now, fill this out, and there's a group table in the lobby. Just drop it in the basket and we'll make sure to get you registered. I do want to say, even if you're already in a group, we're asking this time around that you would actually go through this process. So even if you're part of a group, please do this just as we're coming out of COVID, whatever that actually looks like now. We're trying to get our rosters back and a little bit cleaned up. And so if you would do this, whether you're new to a group or if you're continuing in the group you've been in, that would be awesome.
And then next week, mm-hmm. we have, yeah. I know when Connect Group Leader Speed Dating, I guess is, that's
Connect not what we want. Connect Group Leader Speed Dating. You can call it that. I prefer to call it a leader rally.
A Connect Group Leader Rally is next Sunday.
We'll have all of our group leaders here and just at tables around the lobby and the worship center, just so you can meet people face-to-face. If you're looking for a group, this is a perfect time to meet a leader, to ask them about their group, to ask about things like, what about childcare? What about this? What about that?
But you only have 60 seconds and we ring the bell and then you have to change.
No, that's not a part of it. But what you can do if you want 60 seconds is right now, this week and in the coming couple of weeks too, we have all of our leaders wearing these lanyards. And so if you see someone wearing one of these, you know they have a group. You can also grab them at any time and ask about it. People love to talk about their groups and the work God's doing there. So
they do.
It's pretty cool. Well, so one of those ways.
Thank you for all the work you've done. Let me ask you a question as we kind of wrap up this morning. What did God say to you today? What did he nudge you? Maybe it had something to do with the message. Maybe it had something to do with Connect Group, but maybe it didn't. Maybe maybe it was something else. Maybe it was about, I don't know.
What Rick talked about. What are you laying?
What was it that maybe God gave you a nudge this moment? For me, it's always been helpful at the end of a time of worship to kind of pause for a little bit and kind of jot those things down. Because I don't want to miss those things. And I think sometimes in the busyness of my life, I sometimes miss those little nudges that maybe God gives me. So take a kind of moment right here and just kind of go, okay, God, what'd you say to me today? What'd you speak to me? And then the next thing I'd ask you is maybe if there's a step you need to take. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's getting involved in a Connect group. We'd love to do that. But maybe your step, maybe that's too big of a step. Maybe you need to kind of come see us at Starting Point here in a couple of weeks just to kind of get a feel of what's next. Or maybe you need to talk to somebody about what does it mean to take this next step in your faith journey and your journey with Jesus. And you could write that down on the Connect card. There's some in your seats. There's also a place online for those of us that are worshiping with us online to kind of go, okay, this is the next thing that I think I want to do. We really want to help you find that next step for you. And, of course, those here in our audience can leave that in our connection kiosk. It's also where we take our offering, and that would be fantastic for us. Let's give our blessing.
Okay.
Would you like to?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
So let's stand together, and if you're been here a while, you know we do this every week. If you're new and a guest of ours this morning, we're so glad that you're here, and we hope that you connected with something, and we'd love to know that you were here in one of those ways Grant said. But the reason that we read this blessing as we go out every week is because this is just church on a Sunday morning, but real church happens through each of us as we head out those doors and go into our own individual mission fields. So when you're reading this blessing, yes, we're reading it over you, but you're also reading it over yourself and over your families and those who are sitting next to you. So let's read this together as a church family. In Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives you purpose to your being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, love, and power. Go be the church. Have a great week, guys.